Hello. Sir Peter Maxwell Davis has died. Fellow composer James McMillan pays tribute. Author Jim Powell is here to discuss his new novel Trading Futures, about a man in the grip of a midlife crisis, and rock survivor Iggy Pop on Berlin, Bowie and retirement. Unusually in the publishing world, in which editors pin their hopes on young authors, Jim Powell was 60 when his debut was published, and he found himself on a BBC list of best new novelists of 2010. And only now comes a second novel, Trading Futures, about a 60-something man who, after losing his lucrative job in the city, has a midlife crisis and plans a divorce. The book is serialised on Book at Bedtime this week on Radio 4, read by Toby Jones.
What I have decided to do is simple. It is cowardly, it is pathetic, but it is simple. I shall pull off the road and call home. If my wife has returned, and if she answers, I will say that my journey has been delayed, that I will be home at about 8 p.m. If she has not returned, if she does not answer, I will turn around, go back to Somerset and stay there. Then I'll commence the divorce proceedings.
Toby Jones reading the opening of Trading Futures by Jim Powell, who joins me now in the studio. Jim, welcome to Front Row.
Thank you. The protagonist,
Matthew, yes. In this story, he once had it all. Now all is unravelling. Why did you want to write about the midlife crisis?
I don't know that I did set out to write about a midlife crisis. I started out with a character and with a few ideas, and he slightly took over after that, and his life started to unravel as I wrote about it.
So he's lived in your head for quite a while. You just said to me a moment ago, as we were listening there to Toby Jones, that you haven't heard the Book at Bedtime adaptation of your novel.
No.
So that must be a strange experience to suddenly hear a different representation of the Matthew, to the one that's lived in your head for a
long time. It's very weird, but also very wonderful.
How did he sound? Did he sound like your
Matthew?
He sounded
pretty good to me, yes.
It's also a book, in a way, about those sort of middle-class boomers, the boomer generation, the generation who lived through the 60s,
yes.
Who were very idealistic,
yes.
Who thought they could and thought they would change the world, and then are kind of generationally disappointed by the world
themselves. They are, and it's sort of my generation too, which is perhaps why it's relatively easy to write about it. But there were these huge expectations in the 60s, and it's not that life has been sort of any worse than for anybody else, but the gap between expectation and reality, I think, has been completely immense. And Matthew Oxenhay falls into that gap pretty big time.
But was that one of the themes that you set out to write, whether you knew you were setting out to write a midlife crisis novel or not?
I didn't really set out with themes. I set out more than anything with the character, or with two characters, actually. And they took me where they took me. But that, as you say, emerged definitely as one of the main themes of the novel.
Yeah. I mean, it's not autobiographical. You didn't work in the city. You did work in advertising a long time ago, looking back through your CV. And then you ran your own business for a while. Why did it? I mean, regardless of what happened with you know, your previous careers, why did it take so long to sit down and write a novel?
I don't know. I did write one in the 70s, actually. And, you know, if that had got published, who knows what might have happened. But it didn't, and I was working and busy, and you know, it just took a long time. I never stopped writing. I've written my entire life, since I could hold a pen. And I've just gone on doing it. But it's only, you know, in recent years that I thought, well, you know, I could actually do this properly.
And as I say, there was that BBC list six years ago, hailed as a, you know, one of the next big things.
Yes.
And you got good reviews for that debut novel. Did it then feel like there was pressure on you? I mean, it's almost like the difficult second album syndrome, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, it's almost identical, I should imagine. And yeah, I mean, if you hit the second one right first time, then it sort of feels easy. I don't think I did hit it right first time, and it took me a while to, you know, to come up with something that was going to work as a second novel. But here we are. Still plenty of years ahead.
The book is set in 2008, and it's not immediately apparent, but he is a city trader.
Yes.
We understand that he's dealing in those future markets. Mm-hmm. And it only sort of, it was almost hinted at and not made absolutely explicit that he is living through what we now know as the Great Financial Crash. So in a way, this is not a post-crash book.
No.
It's a book which examines life of a city trader in, well, it's the eye of the hurricane in a way, isn't it?
Well, it was the eye. I have the hurricane, and you know, it's really there not for any detail but as a metaphor, you know, that you have the whole financial world unraveling in 2008, and Matthew's world unravels more or less simultaneously. So you have this massive personal and global unraveling going on.
So you weren't tempted to look at the kind of financial machinations of the city. You were just more interested in it as a backdrop, just to suggest the sort of turmoil that was going on in his head.
I wanted to keep it as a very intimate, personal book that was very much about one man and one woman, and to focus on that, and for everything else really to be sort of background but not important.
It's a tragicomic novel, isn't it, in a way? I mean, it starts off some very funny lines, and yet throughout the novel it gets... He's drinking to excess. He's disparaged by his children. He's in a fairly loveless marriage. But the further we get through that, I don't want to give anything away, obviously, but it gets pretty bleak, doesn't it?
Well, it does get bleak. Yeah, it does. And I sort of quite like that because, I mean, as we all know, I mean, there's plenty that's funny in life and there's plenty that's tragic, but there's also plenty in life that is tragic and funny at the same time. And that's what this tries to be.
He's not an entirely sympathetic character, I've got to say. And that was quite interesting. The voice at the beginning I found kind of pretty irritating, I've got to say. But then you realise that this man's plight is pretty tragic. Did you know, was that quite difficult to have authorial sympathy with the character that you'd created?
I think I always felt more sympathy with Matthew than perhaps most people will. I mean, I completely agree with what you said. He's not a nice man. Or not when we meet him, he's not. Yeah. I mean, there's a hint that earlier in his life he wasn't that bad.
I'm sure Toby Jones will bring some charm to him later this evening.
But I've always had a fondness for him and I enjoyed writing about him.
Well, thanks very much to Jim Powell, whose novel Trading Futures is read by Toby Jones on Book at Bedtime, starting tonight, 10:45 here on Radio 4.